Turn the screen. The screen, yeah. Good. Good evening. If everyone can put his phone away or on vibration, that we don't start having rings here. What is the topic of the lecture tonight? What do we have to speak about? Will you make a topic? Huh? Ah, good. Future of the Jewish youth, if there's any future. We decided to speak when we made that lecture about this topic that called the future of the Jewish youth. Because if you know a little bit what's going on and how the situation is progressing to some negative directions, it's a little bit scary, especially for young people like you. Where are we heading to, you know? And there's a combination of few problems. First problem, it's a problem that everyone has, not only the youth, that the economy in this country is very, very bad, and the future looks a lot worse. What does it mean? What does it have to do with you? Still don't have to worry about parnasa, no? You live by your parents. You still have many years until you start worry. The answer is not exactly, because you are going to schools now. You're trying to learn certain things, colleges. You're taking courses. Whatever you're going to do, the question is if it's worth it to waste time. Because the way this country is turning, it's going to be very difficult to find a decent, good job. You can be very educated. College costs you $100,000, 5-6 years with all the expenses. And in the end, you pay your student loans for 10 years and still don't have a job. Why do I tell you this? Because I see people that are already now looking for a job and they can't find a job for 1 year, for 6 months. They just can't find anything. They're willing to work for nothing, for just to get hired. Very difficult. Another problem is that there are young people, 16, 17, 18, that they're trying, they have emuna, they want to be religious. They're trying to do the right thing. But the environment basically take over their life. Friends, Facebook, phones, text messages, television, sport, everyone with his nonsense. There's plenty of nonsense out there. Person is trying to come to learn Torah, 2-3 days he's doing it, boom, a week, he's a bum, like a goy. You know, not to talk about all the other things that they watch. Hashem Yerachem, in the internet, thank you. In the internet. So the question is, how we can do it in the right way? How can the person do it in the right way? Now I want to ask you a question. Everyone here goes to yeshiva, or some of you goes to public school? You don't have to tell me by names, just general answers.
College?
College. So college means secular college.
Yeah.
Okay. And anybody here went to yeshiva to learn a few good years, Torah, Gemara, Musar, like serious learning? Yeah, there is few who went to yeshiva. After leaving the yeshiva and going to college, do you feel a drop in your level in spirituality? The days that you sit and learn every day, you come home, sit on your Gemara, on your Mishnah, whatever it is. Do you see the difference between those days to what you have today, going to college, all the goyot around, goyish music, goyish studies, everything around you? It's like Siberia over there, spiritually. You feel it or no? Isn't it a shame to lose your spirituality, to go from X level to much lower level, to spend so much money on a college, and in the end achieve nothing, lose your spirituality and achieve nothing? That's really what's going on. So I tell you my advice to you before we start the lecture. The worst thing that a person does is following society. What everybody does, that means that's what we have to do. Everyone graduate high school. If they can go to college, they get accepted, they have the money, they go to college. That means I also have to get to college. If I won't get to college, who's going to marry me? Who's going to look at me? I'm not a professional. Today in Shiduchim, what are you looking for? A professional. Some professional makes $40,000 a year. Some ignorant bums make $500,000 a year selling gold. They don't know how to write their name in English, but they have beautiful houses with nice chandeliers. And the professional is looking for food in the garbage when they close the store. Because he has a nice tie and he went to a good college. You know, or they come to Tom Cheshabes to take boxes because they can't afford to finish the month. They went to college 6-7 years. They invested a lot of time and money. So first of all, I know, I mean, your parents came to this country, they have the dream that their kids become Americanized, they become intelligent, they get a degree, they become a doctor, a pharmacist. No. But I want to tell you really what's the purpose of life. All these things is really nonsense. Because how much money you're going to make, Hashem decided already for each one of you, and you make it one way or the other. Whether you be a doctor, whether you clean the streets, if Hashem wants you to make X amount of money, you're going to make it. Even if you don't want to make a lot of money, you'll make it one way or the other. It will come to you from all directions. I heard one guy came to one rabbi. It never happened. He said to him, Rabbi, I'm tired of making money. It's not today, it was 4 or 5 years ago when business was booming. I'm tired of making money. I don't do anything. I don't invest. I'm not trying. I don't care. And money comes to me from all over. I don't care about money anymore. That's what he comes and says. You don't hear it. You hear it once in 100 years that somebody complaining about making money. A person has to make money, he makes money. If a person has to suffer, he suffers. Two Jews went to stop in a motel on the way. And the goyim, the Russian goyim, drink l'chaim, too much vodka. And in the middle of the night, they want the Jews to dance for them, the rabbis. So they bang on their door, 1 o'clock at night. They wake them up. Hey, you Jew, come dance for us. They're all drunk, all these Cossacks. So what can the Jew do? If he doesn't dance, they'll kill him. They're very arrogant, they're violent. So the Jew is dancing, and they're all clapping, and they're happy. Half an hour he danced, then they say, okay, go to sleep. Then an hour later, they got bored again. They say, let's get the Jew again to dance. So they brought the Jew again, and he's dancing. Now, these two friends in a motel, in a room. One rabbi sits by the door, sleep by the door. One rabbi sleeps in the other side of the room. Then the third time they got bored, they want to call him again to dance for them. So one of the Cossacks say to his friend, hey, you know, we already got this guy twice. Let's be fair. Let's get the other guy also to dance. It's not fair, the same guy all night. So you're right. We'll get the other guy. So in the meantime, in the room, the Jew that wasn't called yet, he said to his friend, you know, I feel bad for you. They called you twice and I'm here. Why don't we change place? Because they obviously come to the closest bed. So they say, okay. So he went to that bed and he came to that bed. Now they come and say, you, come to dance. They don't see in their eyes. You know, they all have beards. They can't tell the difference. You, come and dance. When you're trying to run away from Hashem's plans, no matter how you're going to do it, you can never escape it. There's only one way to escape it. If you become a tzaddik, Yerei Shamayim, Hashem says, what's the point of being strict with the guy? He's doing what's necessary. He's learning in a good way. He doesn't want to learn in a good way. Let's begin to patch him, to wake him up. When it's yours, it's yours. Nobody can do anything about it. So my point is like this. I know you're young. You don't know that much about economy, what's going on, you know, where are we heading to. But I want to tell you something. It's very important, very, very important right now to invest everything you can in spirituality. If you let friends, bad friends, environment, society over here and over there to affect you, you start going into these places you're not supposed to go, to some restaurants late at night that you're not supposed to be there, television, all these electronic devices, renting movies, watching Goyish movies, speaking like black people with their slang, listening to rap music, you should know that we become worse than the most despicable people on earth. Worse than Iran, worse than Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, they block Facebook. That's it, no Facebook in a country. They saw the damage that it made to the youth, the damage. They say, you know what? Let them go to hell. What do we need them? No more Facebook. It's affecting business. They need it. It can help business. It can help promoting things. I'm sure it has good things about it. You know, not everything is bad about it. Just they saw the damage it make to the teenagers. No more. In Iran, same thing. Google, Facebook, what do you call it? YouTube, all these things destroy the kids. Destroy them. They saw that. They put a ban. They block everything. In Israel, the opposite. The more dirt, the more they promote it. Free country, liberal, democracy. We are advanced. It's the 21st century. They bring two girls to dance in prime television together. That kids, 9, 10 years old, they watch television, they see two girls dance. You know what I mean? A national television. You know? The Torah says the Jews have to be Or LaGoyim, light to light the darkness of the Gentiles. In reality, can we say that we Or LaGoyim? We bring darkness to the world, not light. What kind of light? Nowhere. Well, show me what light we bring. So every person has to see, am I going to be losers like all my friend, or it's in my hand to be a winner? What does it mean to be a loser? Doesn't mean not to find a job and not to have money. No, that's not what I mean. That's a loser in society. A loser that I'm talking about is a loser that means he lost the opportunity that Hashem gave him. Which means the girl tried to be like all the girls in college, not modest. At the same time, she wants to be religious, so she's not going to go with a mini skirt or tight pants, because that's already a red line. You know, that's it. My whole community will put an X on me. Shidduchim, nothing, my family, this, that, my parents. I have to think about my brothers, my sister, my parents, my future, so I cannot really go completely like a Goya. So I'll do half enough. We compromise. I want to live in two worlds. One leg in college, one leg in yeshiva, in Bet Yaakov. What does the Torah say? This is worse than a secular person. That's like going to the mikveh and holding a sheretz, a pig in his hand. Holding a pork and going to the mikveh and try to be purified. Holding nevela. What's the point? Being a hypocrite, I'm religious, and in reality I'm 100% a goy. Watching dirt, listening to dirt all day. I bet you now if I'm going to start take iPads from people, what garbage inside, you won't play it in front of your Rebbe in school, that's for sure. So why to live double life? Why? Either you be a tzaddik or you don't be a faker. Just because you're young, well, I want to enjoy life. I hear it all the time, but I'm young. What? You want me to be religious and now I'm not going to do anything? Everything is not allowed? Who say that this is fun, what you have? You're dreaming if you think this is fun. A real fun, it's eternal. It's not something that lasts 6 months and then you go into depression and start taking drugs like all the youth. If they're so happy, why they need all this garbage to destroy their life? Why? Because they're empty. They're nothing. They're not happy. They're empty. That's why every other person in the street is either in alcohol or gambling or drugs or all kinds of other problems. Anxiety attack, every other person. Rabbi, I have anxiety attacks. Where does it come from? When Hashem sees how you behave, that's what happened. You have to know one thing. To know the purpose of your life, it's not easy. Sometimes it may take you 7 years to know. By the time you find out, maybe too late. Avraham Avinu, one of the greatest people in history, believe me, it took him many, many years to find out what Hashem wants from him. Review the Torah, review the Midrashim about Avraham Avinu, how much he sweat, how much effort he put to know what am I doing here? Where is God? Why is he putting me here? What is expecting from me? He's watching me all the time. Where should I go next? What should I say next? Every second of a life you have to give a lot of thoughts. Not just to live like a robot because everyone is doing it. Getting up in the morning, taking the bus, go to college, sit over there, coming back to home, smoking a cigarette, taking your drugs, sitting with your friends, sitting in a neighborhood, speak garbage, going to the movie, sitting in a bar, going to smoke nargila, going to Manhattan on Saturday night after keeping Shabbos. 5 hours a Jew, 5 hours Yasser Arafat. Right? I describe your life perfectly or no? No? How do I know? How do I know? I tell you how I know. I am the one who get the phone call after things went out of control. So, you know, the Gemara says, "En chacham ela kebal nisayon." Who is a chacham? Someone who has experience. I see how this kind of ways that all the youth have in our community leads them to total destruction, one way or the other. Whether they're 17, 18, 19, in the end they all ended up in a very negative balance. It's a repeat. So what makes him better than him or him better than him? Everybody leads to the same direction. You have to know, just one generation ago, kids in your age, how much they put in the Torah, in the mitzvot. Nobody worried about parnassah. Life was very simple. Nobody had all these electronic devices. People had one pair of shoes once every 7 years. One suit, 5 years, the same suit. If it gets ripped, they take a patch, sew it on it. Imagine, you come on Shabbos to shul, your Shabbos shoes have patch here, patch here, patch here, hole here. That's how it was. What do you think? What's like today? And that's all they did. They were the happiest people on earth. Shining, like shining diamonds. You look at the face of this tzaddikim from only one or two generations ago. All there was, their mind was 100% pure inside the Torah. Sometimes I'm giving a ride to a rabbi from Monsi, Chassid. He was so pure in the time of his wedding, he didn't even know what a woman is. He apologized to his new wife that he doesn't know what needs to be done the night of the wedding. Why? Because all he knew is Torah and honesty and integrity and Musar. And he didn't look at a woman once in his life until he became 20 or 19. You understand? You all ask yourself, the modern Orthodox or the secular community, or the Goyish community, all these advanced communities, they are top of the line equipment. All of them have the best cell phones, the best laptops, the best everything, right? Yeah, they still Shomer Shabbos, they eat kosher, they do a lot of nice things, but they are up to the top of the top, more than the average Americans. They know every new invention, every new phone that comes, the next day is the first one who gets it. Every car, they have the best equipment. You don't. By the time they comes out, you don't even know what's going on. They already know everything. Can explain to you about every phone who comes to the market. Half of his life goes to this garbage. And when all of them get married, their marriage look like a nightmare. Arguments, fighting, cursing, leaving the house every other week, problems with the in-laws, problem with the kids. No idea what's going on here. Kids stealing their parents' house without the car, without license, and hitting people and kill them. 2 weeks ago, I called my son's yeshiva to find out what's going on. The whole yeshiva wasn't home. Why? They went to visit one guy from the yeshiva that his sister got killed by a car. Who drove the car? Another Jewish boy that stole his father's car, age 16, whatever, he didn't have a license, stole the car, he hit her and killed the girl, finished the whole family. And this is a kid with a yarmulke. Not talking now somebody from the ghetto in Harlem over there. Now that's not what we're talking here about. We're talking what they say in Hebrew, mimishpachot tovim, from the best families. But somehow, everything in life is the opposite of what it looks. The people who go on a date for a long, long time, they see 2-3 hours in a date, 4 hours sometimes until the morning. They're completely not modest. They don't keep the ethics of the Torah. They don't watch their eyes. They don't sit in modest places. This completely, everything that they do in their dating is against the Torah. Finally, after they know each other so well, they already married months before the wedding. They know everything about each other. Not to talk about other sins that they make. Finally, they get married. Right away, their marriage is a nightmare. You take two Hasidim, two naive Hasidim. They know nothing from their life. The boy never saw girls. The girls doesn't know anything about boys. They go on a date, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Maximum two dates. Maximum. They get married, their divorce rate is less than 3%. Everybody else, 40%, 50%, 70%. The divorce rate, now you may say, oh, I tell you why. They're not allowed to get divorced. That's why they suffer for the rest of their life. That's not what we see. They seem very happy. You go to the house Shabbat, you see everything is fine. There's always an exception to the rule. But seems that they have wonderful family, great kids, great respect. Over there, it's mamash great. The kids dress like Jews. The food on the table is really kosher, not 50-50 or 60-40. Everything is real. He goes to Kollel, he comes to Yeshiva. They live simple life, everything fine. How is it possible that their marriages look so much better if they knew each other for 1 hour before they got married? You know how? It's not because of the dating. It's because of the 18 or 19 years prior to that. Since everything was kosher and clean, when they meet each other, their mind is not contaminated. The guy never saw girls in his life. The more girls he's seen on the street, in the internet, in the movies, when he finally comes to date his wife, he's expecting her to be the most famous actress from the movies. Not every girl is like this. If she's righteous, she can be from a good family, she really reads Tehillim, she's a good woman, she's busy with chesed, she's going to be a great wife. No, but she's not that actress. And so even if he forced himself to get married, all his life he's thinking about the dirt that he sees. That's why he can never reach happiness. Never reach happiness. If you have the worst cars in the world and you're in some island, you never saw any cars. You have some garbage car that you found in an island, it drives. You're very happy. Everyone here have a donkey, and I have a car. Look, I press the gas, and it moves. Beautiful. One time they take you on a trip to New York, you see all these fancy cars. You cannot look at your car anymore. This is the way a person is built. The psychology of a person is, if you don't watch your eyes, if you become greedy and everything you see you want, the thing that you have and you were very satisfied from, cannot enjoy anymore. Not only that, there's another rule in our life. Our psychology shows that you only appreciate what you have when you lose it. When you have it, you take it for granted. You get divorced, 3 months later, you kill yourself. What did I have and look at my life now. I thought it's going to be better. You understand? They do not know anything. The first girl, he goes out in a shidduch, for him, she's Miss Universe. Why? In his mind, in his psychology, there is no opening for comparing, checking, putting one next to the other. She's prettier, she's better. They do not know that. They live like the Torah. That's why they're always happy from their wife. You sometimes wonder. He's not the most handsome guy in the world. She is far away from being beautiful. They don't care so much always about their weight and their aesthetic and their look or gym or all these things that people care about. And somehow they have such love. Sometimes you see them older, they go together. After 4 years they marry, they have perfect life. Mamash, they're not rich, but they're happy from what they have. You have to understand, rich is not what you have. It's what you are satisfied with. Every person has a level of satisfaction. If this is what you need, according to what you convince yourself and you educate yourself, you're going to reach happiness. But a person that has big eyes, no matter what he has, he'll never be happy. Can they have $1 billion cash, still very, feel poor. If he writes a $100 check, he doesn't sleep at night. Now, do you think, be honest with me, do you think that the lifestyle of the people here in Queens, in Brooklyn, in Lakewood, it's entering now the best neighborhoods in America, in Israel, it's happening everywhere now. Do you think it leads to success or to complete destruction? Be honest. What do you think? Do you think there's a chance to continue with the internet, with the goyish music, with the goyish clothing, with the ripped jeans, with the weird boots, with the corner in a, going like all the way up, like the gondola in Italy? You know, this, the boats over there in Venice? That's how the shoes look. Sometimes I see things, I wonder to myself, is it people or is it monkeys? What's going on in this world? Every day a new thing is invented. Such emptiness that a person, you know, I give you an example. We used to have a lot of lectures, very long lectures, 2, 3, 4 hours. I had a lecture one time, 12 hours. Straight until the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, it's finished. And everybody stayed. But that was more than 10 years ago. Today, I make short clips. Short clips. I go to a studio, they film me, and they put it on different Facebook lists. 100,000 people, 130,000. So I want to continue to talk. The guy said, maximum 10 minutes. So now he went down to 8 minutes. I said, soon I'm going to say good evening, the lecture is over. Why is arguing with me to make it short? He said, the youth are so empty, so corrupted in their mind, they cannot focus more than 10 minutes. The longer you talk, the worse it gets. Just talk 10 minutes. At least they can focus 10 minutes. More than 10 minutes, they cannot focus. And I've seen it so correct. I go sometimes to schools. To schools. I see how the people suffer in a class. After 10 minutes, they're dying that this is going to be over. How they move. How, you know, like everyone with these text messages. Some people sleep. Nobody can focus. You can give the most amazing lecture when people focus, when there's a lot of jokes. Which speaker brings the most people to hear them? The jokers. Those who makes a lot of jokes. People like them. Why? Jokes, you don't have to think. You relax, it comes, it makes you happy. Some chemical released in the brain. It doesn't matter by the end of the lecture you don't remember one of the jokes. You go home, your brother asks you, so what did you hear? You don't remember one joke, you know how it is. But 10, 20 minutes you sit, you enjoy, you laugh, comedy, very good. You ask somebody to come learn Musar, 2 people show up. You tell them, oh, there's this one is making comedy, he's an actor, you know, he's doing all these things, ooh, 500 people coming. That shows who we are. Who we are. Okay, this so far is describing the situation. How do we make things better? You have an idea? How does a person get himself out of this situation that almost every friend, his cousins, everyone is deep in this garbage? He's trying to elevate himself spiritually. He wants to be a tzaddik. His environment does not allow him, whether it's his parents that are not so firm. It could be they put television in the house. It could be the neighbors, it can be the cousin, the weddings, the parties. Every other day there's something like this. And a person really want to be a tzaddik, but his environment pulls him to the negative side. So what's the solution? What's the solution? No? What do you think? Huh? So I tell you the best advice. The best advice is to change the friends that you hang up with. Why? If your friends are a bunch of clowns that all they care about is nonsense, if you want to elevate yourself, they will never let you. What? You're a fool. There's a great party. What is this now? You want to go to a shiur? What happened to you, fanatic? This, you know, we don't know you anymore. They always put you down. Why all the kids, almost everyone, use drugs? Why? Pressure. Pressure from society. Every kid knows it's poison. Every kid knows it's going to kill me. Every kid knows it's going to take all my money. There's a chance that I'm going to become a criminal to steal, to supply myself with this poison. So why they all doing, almost all of them goes into this garbage? Why? Pressure. You're not cool. Bah, you're not one of us. Eh? That's it. You don't dress like this, nobody wants you. You don't have hundreds of dollars in your pocket, your father is not rich. You become a thief. Why? You want to be cool, one of the guys. Everyone speak like a kushi, you don't speak like this, you're not one of us. So what's the solution? Get away from this phony, phony society and friends. If not, when you come in front of Hashem, you're going to have to pay for every one of these things. What's going to be your excuse? Hashem, it's not my fault. What? Look, all my cousins, all my friends, everywhere. My high school was like this. Every party I go, every family event, it's all the same. How you expect me to be tzaddik? What's going to be Hashem's answer to you? A foolish excuse. Not accepted. Why? All you had to do is tell your parents, I'm packing a bag. I'm going 3 months away. I want to clean my mind. Where are you going? What happened? You okay? You okay? We call it a shrink. The psychiatrist is waiting. My psychologist, don't worry, you owe me a favor. Come tomorrow morning, I'll tell you. What happened? I want to go to yeshiva.
What if you're a girl?
Huh? Okay, we'll get to the girls. So far, we're starting with the guys. In America, it's ladies first. In the Torah, it's guys first. Depend. Depend if it's the Ashkenazi world or the Sephardi world. So anyway, I didn't say on which side the wife is the boss. You decide. Anyway, so anyway, I go 2, 3, 4 months. You become clean. Torah, clean environment, no internet, none of these events, none of these things, no Motzei Shabbos party, no hang-ups in Main Street or somewhere, I don't know where, in 7-Eleven at 2 o'clock at night. Don't have all this. You become clean. The Torah begins to purify the heart, the soul. When the soul becomes pure, you begin to think straight. Now you can tell the difference between good and bad. Right now it's all mixed. Shabbat mixed with the earring over here. Ponytail and the earring, Shomer Shabbos. With the boots like the gondolas. How is it going together? I've seen this week, I went for 1 minute to say hello to somebody who made an event in Monsey. I see kids from most religious families, ponytail, earring, boots, and now the new style, the pants is all the way down with some kind of stupid shorts with something. I love New York or other things. The new style now. That's what the Gemara said before Mashiach came, Pnei Ador ke Pnei Kelev. I'm thinking to myself, if I was a girl, I wouldn't want to stand in a range of a guy that dressed like this. This is a guy in the Torah, it's called Ilos Tzelem Enosh. There's becoming, I'm not talking religion now. Make no mistake. We didn't even start talking about being a tzaddik, righteous, religious, chacham. Forget about it. This is out of our vocabulary as of now. I'm talking being a human being. Okay? Being a human being. That's step number one. If you're not a human being, you can never be a chacham. You cannot teach Torah to someone who's not a human being, the Gemara say. First, you have to make him a person. You teach him Musar. You clean him from all his dirt. Then you're starting to teach him. The Gemara says, when Rabban Gamliel was the president, he made a decree, only decent people are allowed into the yeshiva. He had the yeshiva. He put a guard, a keeper there in a door. And every person who come, they check if he's in a list. How you come in a list? If your jeans is down and your shorts is coming up, for sure you're not allowed into yeshiva to learn Torah. Hey, but if I don't learn Torah, how am I going to become a tzaddik? You don't let me in? No, you are not welcome here. Stay outside. A person that they know is a thief, they don't let him in. It's not 100% Shomer Shabbos, they don't let him in. And finally, if they let him in, he has to pay top dollars to get in. That's how it was. What do you think? Like today, people beg you to come to learn for free? Over there, you had to beg to come in. So Rabban Gamliel say, "Rak mi shetocho kevaro is allowed. A person that is pure in the inside, like the outside, is permitted in." Which means, it's not. Of course, everyone looks good from the outside in those days. They didn't have the life that we have today. So only a person that is inside is like he's outside, which means he looks decent, but he's really decent. He's a hard-working person. That's the way he is from inside. He's straight, he's honest, he's Baal Chesed. It's all from inside, not only a show-off. They let him in the yeshiva. When they replaced Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he became the president instead of him. He said, everyone is allowed to come in. Let every Jew that wants to learn Torah come in. And the yeshiva became full. Before that, it was half empty. Rabban Gamliel got depressed. The first one, he got depressed. He said, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I prevented Torah learning and I didn't do what Hashem wanted me. So they showed him in a dream from Shamayim that he was right. Hashem is not looking for quantity. He looks for quality. One Jew in a high level spiritually can be equal like 10,000 others that walks in the street. And that's why sometimes instead of bringing a huge tragedy when we have so many sins and Hashem has mercy on us, He take one or two, and that's instead of thousands. Where does it say it? In Shir HaShirim. Dodi arad legano lilkot shoshanim. Dodi, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He comes to his garden, which is this world, to pick up the roses. There are a lot of thorns. Here and there you find roses. He picked up a rose. Rose can be like a million thorns. It doesn't go by quantity. It's only go by quality. Same thing the mitzvot and the sin. Some mitzvot, one mitzvah can be equal like 1,000 sins in a level. If you made one Jew religious and you did not make Netilat Yadayim 1,000 times, the reward that you're going to get on the Jew that you made him religious just in his lifetime is 1,000,000 times greater than the punishment you're going to get for not washing your hands. It's not the same league. Or sometimes the other way around. Relationship, forbidden relationship before marriage, guys, girls, touching, doing bad things, one time can be equal like 1,000 mitzvot. 1,000 mitzvot a person does, one sin like this, on the scale, it's much heavier, as the Rambam writes, than all the 1,000 mitzvot. So it doesn't go by quantity, it goes by the quality of each transaction. So rule number one, a person has to come out of his environment. If he see that he's not elevating himself spiritually, that's the purpose of life. Not just to be a doctor or an architect. That's besides the point. To make a living, that's my ishtadlut, this is my effort. I went to college, I'm trying to have a profession, I'm going to apply for a job. If Hashem wants me, He's going to use my skills to send me the money through what I chose. Sometimes He's going to choose a different way for me. I know lawyers, in the end, they went to work with their father in their business, in real estate. What about their law degree? They don't use it. Waste of time. Hashem sent them much more money than being lawyers. They could have made less money if they choose what they learned. But in the reality, they went into business and they made millions. Or the other way around. Also, whatever Hashem wants you to make, you make, whether you are educated, whether you are not educated.
Exactly. So why
did
you switch from law to real estate?
Why switch? He didn't like law. He learned. His father told him, I want my son to be a lawyer, a doctor, like most parents do. Every parent, you ask, what's your dream? I want my son to be a doctor. Why? To show off. They really care that their son will be a doctor. If he was in style to clean the garbage on the street, that would be their dream. Whatever people admire, that's the dream of the parents. Today, you ask many secular girls, what's your dream about your girl? My dream is that my girl will be a model. What's a model? A prostitute on a stage. What is it? In the days of the Torah, a woman would do what model does 1 minute, it will be the end of her life. She cannot ever come out of her home for the rest of her life. Nobody will marry her. Nobody will talk to her. They'll see her dead on the street. Nobody would stop to help her. Even by the goyim. Today, fancy schmancy all over the media, science, Tel Aviv, New York. So the parents see that they get a lot of attention that their girl became like this. How the Torah say that it's the most despicable girl on earth. Who cares? Care about Hashem? They care about the show of the attention. People live in a lie. That's the bottom line. My advice to each one of you, and now we talk a little bit about the girls. There's not that many yeshivot for girls to go and learn. Why? Why is it? You want to know the real truth? The yeshivot for the girls is just as necessary for yeshivot for the guys. Girls also need to learn musar, modesty, ethics, how to run a house, a marriage, raising children. There's a lot to learn for a girl. So why they don't make yeshivot for girls? Because girls are not obligated to learn Torah. When you come to the millionaires to donate money to Torah, they want to get a lot for their investment. If they have to take $20,000, $30,000 a month to maintain the yeshiva, if they do it with 30 guys or they do it with 30 girls, it's not the same. The reward over here with the guys is much greater because it's an obligation. Over here, it's not an obligation. A girl is not obligated to see the learn Gemara. The learning of Gemara, it's a very high level mitzvah. So that's one of the main reasons why you don't have it. But assume that we had thousands of billionaires and they're all very generous, you'll see plenty of yeshivot for girls as well. So since the situation is not like that, what a girl should do, at least the girl has one advantage. What? She connects to Hashem much faster than a man. Much faster. If a guy reads Musar, it's affecting him a little bit. Tomorrow a little more. Tomorrow, after months, he's improving. Girls is 1, 2, 3. One or two stories she hears from the Holocaust, she begins to cry. The next thing you see her, Rachel Imenu. That's why the women don't need that much Torah. It's not an obligation. Plus, women has other skills that men don't have. They have extra wisdom. Extra wisdom. For instance, if you bring a guy that nobody knows who he is, there's a question mark to the house, who will recognize that he's a crook faster? The wife. Even if her father is a Talmid Chacham, usually she would understand faster. They have this sense, like the sixth sense, to tell, stay away from this guy. He's dangerous. And usually they're always right. They have some skills that it comes natural, natural. So what's this? What's the advice for the girls? Also, first, to stay away from all this garbage internet, all this hanging out. I want to tell you, you know, we have to go by what the Torah says. The Torah is eternal. The Torah is not according to fashion. Today it's like this, tomorrow it's the opposite. It's the truth, the ultimate truth, and it's staying the truth no matter what happened in the world. Even if everyone become a goy, there's only one Jew who keeps Shabbat in the world, God forbid. The Torah never changed. The requirements are still the same. Modesty, the laws of modesty are 100% like the time of Sarah Imenu. There's no discount, like some of the girls think. Ah, compared to my generation, I'm Sarah Imenu. Compared to Sarah Imenu, I would have to hide under the ground 20 years from the embarrassment, how I am. But compared to all my friends, I'm the most righteous in my school. I'm the most modest in my school. Baloney, that's not how it works. It's either you're modest or you're not. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, you probably heard that story before, in case you didn't. A man fell in love with a girl. He saw a girl in his neighborhood, very pretty girl, tzaddikah, goes every day in and out. He was watching her. That's where the problem begins. Using the eyes for the wrong things leads to bigger problem later on. That's why we say in Shema Yisrael every day, Lo taturu achare levavchem v'achare enechem asher atem zonim. Zonim come from what word? Zona. What zona is? Prostitute. Your eyes leads you to prostitutions. That's what the Torah says. The Torah uses every word is precise. Watching things you're not supposed to would lead you to sins that are the worst in the Torah, guarantee. En apotropus la'arayot. So this guy is watching her. So then he came to her. He said, I want you to marry me. I'm sure he bought her a beautiful rose, roses and flowers or a bottle of wine. He was a real gentleman. He came to her and said, not to make a scene, to get married. I want you to be my wife. She said, who are you? I'm not interested in you. I don't want. He said, please, you know, I'm in love with you. This, that, didn't help. He went to his doctor and told the doctor, doctor, if she is not marrying me, I kill myself. I'm in deep depression. I cannot walk. I cannot eat. I cannot think. My life is over. It has to happen. So the doctor comes to the rabbis. This is how it happens for real in the Gemara. The Gemara brought that story for us to learn how far it goes, the sin. So the doctors came to the rabbi and say, Pikuach nefesh, life risk, rabbi. If she won't agree to marry him, even for a month, Let him relax from his desire. And then maybe they'll get divorced or something, but in the meantime, he won't die. The rabbis listen to the question. The rabbis say it's better he dies and she won't agree to force herself to be with him. Because it's not pure. It's not a real connection. So, after a few days, the doctor came back. He said, okay, not to be together. Just that she walk in front of him for X amount of minutes every day. You know, they make a date between 2 and 2 or 3. Every day you walk in the street back and forth. She walks like this with her tehillim. Ashresh vebetecha. And he watch from the window. Nobody see. Modest, completely clean. The Chachamim say he better die and she won't walk in front of him even a second. Pikuach nefesh. Let him die, it's better. A Jew will die. Shomer Shabbos Jew. Doesn't have earrings over here and 5 tattoos, you know where. A Shomer, 2,000 years ago, it's a Shomer Shabbos Jew. Let him die. Next time, the doctor come and say, okay, I have another idea. What's the idea? They'll speak from both sides of the wall. She's going to stand behind the wall. And he's going to stand on that side of the wall. And they talk. Hi, how are you today? It's a beautiful sunny day. They say on the weather, tomorrow it's going to rain. What? About what? Not a sin, God forbid. Not what people do today. So what is it like? Telephone. You don't see who you're talking to. But you hear. There's no visions involved. She's here and he's there. There's a wall. 1 minute a day to relax his anxiety. What happened in the end? The Chachamim say, let him die and she won't agree to talk to him on the phone. How many of you speak to your friends? Rabbi, she's only my friends. Who say Hashem agreed that a boy 16, 17 years old will have girlfriends? Not for relationship. Friends to hang up, playing cards together. I don't know, going shopping together, going to the mall together. Who says? Don't you know that this is the beginning of the end of your life? What do you think? The end of the life is only when the car hit you and you die? That's the end of the life. The end of the life is when Hashem put an X on you. On Rosh Hashanah, your previous year was a disaster. So if you die now, you have no share to the world to come. That means to die in the Torah, not 60, 70 years that we hear. It's all life of eternity. Every time the Torah say life, I brought you CDs here. Preparation for eternal life. Every time the Torah speaking about the word Chaim, Chaim, it's eternity. Not like a dog 20, 30 years and die. No, that's not life. As soon as a person is born, he begins to die. When a person asks you in Israel, all the chilonim in Israel, they walk like this with their cell phone, Tel Aviv, on the street, everyone is busy. How are you, Itzik? Chaim! Chai! That's what they answer. I'm alive! The dog is also alive. What kind of answer is that? I'm alive! You're not alive, you're dead. To be alive means to be connected to Hashem, to get the charge that you need. A phone that is not connected to the source is losing the battery. As soon as a person was born, he begins to die. His life doesn't extend, right? Yeah, Hashem gave him 70 years. The minute he was born, it's 69 years, 68, he's dying. He's in the process of dying. It's a process. Nobody is earning life here. To earn life is only there. You know, it used to be Don Yitzhak Abarbanel. In Spain, in the days of the hundreds of years ago, he was the treasury of Spain. Psh, big job, like Bernanke here in America. You heard about Bernanke? He's a Shomer Shabbos Jew. He's embarrassed to put his yarmulke. He has a beard. And Shabbos, he looks Hasidic with his hat and yarmulke. Well, when he goes to speak on the television, you see his, you know, bald head, no yarmulke. Bernanke. Every decision here in economy, banking, trillions of dollars, it's his decision. The one before him was also a Jew, Greenspan, Reform Jew. Reform. Bernanke, Orthodox Jew, Shomer Shabbos. Also the Lieberman, the senator, is also Shomer Shabbos. There's few Shomer Shabbos in big politics. Here in New York, the strongest man in New York is Sheldon Silver. I used to daven with him in Lower East Side together. The strongest person in New York, politician. The assembly, the head of all the decisions here. Shomer Shabbos, his son is Baal Kore, Netora, Tzadik, Edi. A lot of religious people are in control here. Don Yitzchak was the treasury of Spain when Spain was a major empire. Everyone was jealous with him that the king of Spain loved him so much because he's a big Talmid Chacham. He also knows about economy. So one time they came to the king and they said, we want everybody to declare how much is his net worth. To tell us, the king, how much you have. You have 10 million, 20 million, you have houses. Write a declaration how much you have. So everybody wrote 2 million, 1 million, 5 million, whatever they're worth. And Don Yitzchak wrote a ridiculous amount. Less than what's his house worth. And plus he has a lot of property. So he came to the king. All the goyim, they said to the king, you see what a crook this rabbi is? You see, you trust him. You tell him all your secrets. Here, look what he wrote in his declaration. We all know that his house alone worth 4 times more than what he wrote. Plus all the money he has in the bank, and the gold, and the diamonds, and the animals that he have. Well, what's going on here? Then, one of them convinced the assistant of Don Yitzchak to tell him secrets from the vault. There's papers in the vault that they're hiding. The servants stole them. He gave them to these enemies. They learned all the secrets of the king. And they came to the king and said, what are you trusting this Jew? He's telling us all your secrets. Here, don't you plan to develop that area? You're going to destroy that city? You're going to make a major road? The king said, wow, this is all confidential information. That means this rabbi is not so faithful like I thought. So they say to him, we have to kill him. So the king say, how can we kill him? He's so popular in a country because he's lowered the taxes. All the Spanish people love him, admire him, because he cut their taxes. They pay much less taxes. He's a genius in economy. How are we going to kill him? They're all going to make revolution against us. So they say, we make it look like it's an accident. We'd make it look like it's an accident. So I say, oh, an accident? How are we going to do it? They said, don't worry, leave it to us. We set it up already. So you write a letter with your seal, and we send them to a factory that make bricks. Bricks for building, they have big fire over there. They put the bricks inside, and that's how they make the bricks, with heat. And once he's going to come there to look at the... You send him to look at the place, and you give him an envelope, and he's going to hand the envelope to the owner of the place, and inside the envelope it's going to say, the person who hand you this letter, right away you must push him into the fire with the seal of the king. That's it, and nobody knows. And they claim that he fell into the fire, and nobody would know that it's planned. That was the plan. So he's going with his servant, the one who sold the secrets. So they're going on a carriage on the way to that factory with the envelope. Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, he has the envelope. It's a true story that happened. On the way there, around 4 or 5 in the afternoon, he see on the major road, a Jew is standing like this. He saw him, rabbi with a beard. Rabbi, rabbi, Don Yitzchak, please. I know you are Moel. My son today, it's his brit. And the Moel didn't show up from the morning. We're all waiting. We don't know. There's no telephone, no Google. 1-800-MOEL. You know, you got to find a Moel now. And this Jew lives in a place there's no Jews. So where is he going to find Moel now? By the time he's going to travel to the major city until he comes back with the Moel, the 8 day will expire already. So he says, Mishamayim, I was begging all day, I'm standing here, maybe one Jew will pass by that I ask him if he knows how to do Brit Milah. So he said, so please come. So he said to him, I have a problem. I'm a messenger of the king. The king sent me on a mission. So the Jew say to him, but the king send you on a bigger mission here. What's more important, his mission or to circumcise a baby boy? So he said to his servant, he's right, let me go quickly 2 hours and I'll follow you. I'll get one of the horses and I'll follow you there. I'll meet you in a factory. He's going with a carriage. He's going to run on a horse. So he gave him the envelope. And he went to do the Brit Milah. By the time he finished the Brit Milah, he went to that place. By the time he got there, the assistant that gave them the envelope, they open up the envelope. The person who gives you the envelope, throw him into the fire. So they grabbed him. Nobody sees. They're about to push him into the fire. So, hey, what are you doing? Why are you killing me? He said, look, the king. He said, okay, before you kill me, let me do vidui. Christian also make confession. $50 to the priest. All the murders are forgiven. So, he say, Hatati, Aviti, Pashati. No, and then he say, I know I'm punished because what I did to the rabbi. And they're all listening to what he says. I know I saw the secrets of the king. That's why God punishing me. Please forgive me. They pushed him into the fire. Then an hour later he arrived. So the people from the factory say, oh, we just realized what happened here. You're the one who was supposed to die. But we already killed him. But at least we know that you're innocent now because we listened to his confession. So he admitted that he stole the secrets of the king and gave it to your enemies. So now he went back to the king. The next day the king sees him. Well, how are you here? He said to the king, I know what you planned for me. But I'm 100% innocent. Who got killed? The assistants. And he made a vidui that he stole from the vault all the secrets and gave it to these guys. And together, I never told them any secrets. It's all a lie. So the king said, I'm very happy that you didn't get killed, especially when now I see that you're innocent, but I want to ask you one question. And that's why I told you that story. You're innocent about telling my secrets to these advisors. That's true. But aren't you a liar? You wrote on your declaration that you're worth only a few hundred thousand dollars when everybody see your beautiful big house that's worth four times more and your other house and this and that. Obviously, it's not what you want. So how do you lie to us like this? Would you holding us to be so foolish? So he says to them, no. You ask me how much I have. So I answered you how much I have. This is the amount of money I get for charity in my life. This is what I have. Nobody can take it away from me. Everything you see, my house, my other house, my horses, this, that, you go like this. You take it away from me. I'm using it. Tomorrow you get angry, you tell me get out. You're the king. It's not democracy over there, Supreme Court, appealing. The king wants it, he takes it, finished. That's how it was. Like in the Arab countries, when Saddam wanted a wife of a person, he used to come and take her from the husband and then force him to give her a get. Why? Saddam wants her. Finished. There's nothing he can do. One rabbi went to a house of a religious person and he said, Rabbi, please sit in the head of the table. Sit in the head of the table. So he says to him, here. So the rabbi said, what do you mean? Said, in the head of the table there was a dog. The dog is sitting on a chair. So the rabbi said to him, if you want to humiliate me, all you have to do is to say. You don't have to make me sit by the dog. In the head of the table, everyone see me sitting next to the dog, like he's my wife or something. So he said, no, God forbid, Rabbi, I'm not here to put you down. I'm here to put the dog up. So he said, why? He said, one time, a gang came and broke into my house and my wife was alone. And the person over there wanted to steal my wife and take her with him. I will never know what happened. By the time I come home, she's gone. That's how it used to be in those days. And this dog jumped on him and beat him in his hands a few times. He was fighting with his dog, see him? And in the end, they ran away wounded, and he saved my wife. I will never know where she is. One day I come home, she disappeared. So I owe him so much gratitude to this dog. So I want to show him how important it is, so I decided to make him sit next to the holiest rabbi in town. That's how much I admire him. You know, why you call Kelev, Kelev, do you know? Kelev in Hebrew means kulo lev. It's one full heart. His entire personality He's very, very faithful and devoted to his master. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi, Gemara Talmud Yerushalmi, it brings a story about a bunch of shepherds that they milk the cows or the sheep, whatever, and they fill up a bucket full of milk, and they went and they came back after an hour to drink the milk. In those days, the snakes used to be around, so the snake went to drink from the milk and he put his poison in the milk. You drink it, you die. Finished. So the dog saw it. So when the shepherds came, the dog was barking, barking, moving. They didn't understand what the dog wants. They're about to drink the milk. The dog jumped into the milk and started to drink the milk. And a few minutes later, he died. So the Gemara said, look at this dog. He was willing to kill himself to save his master. This is what now. But you should know one other thing, that the dog is the most filthy animal in the entire nature. From all the not pure animals, which one is the best, which one is the worst? From the chayot atmeot, behemot atmeot. You know what tame is? Not sheep, not deer, not cows. This is all kosher animals. From the non-kosher, giraffe is also kosher. Bison is kosher. The buffalo, it's also kosher. From the non-kosher animals, which one is the worst? The dog. And which one is the best? The donkey. How do we know? We don't go by his shape, by how beautiful he is. No. By what the Torah says. What does the Torah say? Every firstborn in Jewish family, right, has to be redeemed from the Kohen. You have to give the Kohen 5 coins of silver and redeem the baby from him. Otherwise, the baby belongs to the Kohen. It's holy, firstborn. Which animal has the same rule? For more than 2 million animals in nature, the only animal that has the same rule applied to it, like a Jewish boy that is born, is a donkey. You have to redeem the donkey. Peter Rechem, Hamor. We read it every day in the parasha of the Tefillin. And which animal is the worst? The dog. How do we know? That every animal that you sell or you replace with another thing, the replacement or the money that you receive from that animal, you're allowed to sacrifice it to Beit HaMikdash, to donate, to give a gift to Beit HaMikdash. The only animal, if you sell it, you get money for it, you cannot use this money for Beit HaMikdash, is a dog. That's what the Torah says, Gzerat HaKatuv. Why? The filthiest animal. Why? Why is it? Why is it? I'll tell you one of the reasons. There's many reasons for it. One of the reasons is because when Hashem told the animals to go into Noah's ark, he told them for the time of the flood not to multiply, not to touch their females. There's no room in the ark to grow now. There's no room. It's very crowded over there with so many animals. Even though it was a huge boat, this ark, stay 2, don't become 7 now, okay? The one that didn't listen was the dog. They didn't listen to Hashem. That's one of the reasons, but there's other reasons. Anyway, we go back to our subject, and I would like to answer your questions. Now it's the opportunity. The major key to succeed, trust me, if you listen to me now, you will see the results in 5-10 years. It's to isolate yourself from your environment. If you see, look, if you have good friends, they bring you to lectures, they bring you to learn, they don't have all this garbage in their hand all the time, they're not taking you to Manhattan and all kinds of dirty places, then it's very good to have friends like this. Friends like this you have to buy with money. You have to do anything you can to keep them next to you. Why? They bring you to life of eternity, to Chaya Olam Haba. But if it's the losers, the average losers on the street, all day they do bad things. Rabbi, I'm not yeshivash. I wish that was the only problem. Why? Just because I dress like this, you think I'm not good? I wish it was the only problem. We all know what's behind that. These kind of people, you must stay away from them. You have to do everything you can to enter to a system that will teach you Torah. Whether it's yeshiva, whether it's morning learning, night learning. A person that doesn't learn Torah automatically goes down. I want to tell you something. Life is like this. When life is difficult, you know you're going up. When it's easy, you know you're on the way down. When you walk, if it's very hard to walk, you're climbing. If it's very easy to walk, you cannot stop yourself, you're sinking. What? Yeah, so that's what you learn from bicycle. If it's very hard to ride a bicycle, that means you're on the way up. If it's very easy, you don't have to do anything, you get the evil inclination, the Satan is pushing you to the negative direction. You don't have to do anything, just sit and enjoy the ride. Yeah, that's what it is. So far, any questions? Any questions? Everything is clear? Cannot be.
You said you have to stay away from all the people who are going to keep you away. It's going to be bad for you. Like all your friends are thinking you're going to be bad, right? But what if you're trying to help those friends?
I'll explain to you. If I want you, I want to be able to influence you. First, I have to make sure my cup is full. What spilled from my cup, when the cup is full, will come to you. If my cup is empty, I have no ability to affect you. To just call you and tell you to come to a lecture, that's everybody can do. But to influence other people to become holier, you have to first take care of yourself. You understand? You want to help your friends to bring them closer, reality always shows they drag you down. That's why many people want to get married. Sometimes I have girls, they say, I want to marry to this guy. He's a nice guy. I like him. My father knows their father from Russia. All kinds of stories. No, what now? But it's not Shomer Shabbat. But we're working on it. He promised he will. 99% he will make her a Goya before she make him Shomer Shabbos. Even though it's true that the women can have much better effect on a man than the man on a woman. That's true. That's true. But in our days, the not religious side will make the religious side goes down. Why? Because you have assistance from the Satan. The Satan is interested. How it's going to be? Oh, all day you read Tehillim. I'm tired of this life here. What's going on here? What is this you're putting on your head? I can't take this anymore. Massive pressure. Massive pressure. Every day a little more, a little more, a little more. What happened in the end? You see her with a $5,000 week, ties closed, in a disco in Manhattan. What happened? Oh, no, don't worry. It's glad kosher here. It's glad kosher, Rabbi. Tell me about it. You cannot run to influence others before you know yourself. You're in a very strong level. And you are all young. You have to build up your character right now. You can still be maneuvered to the right side or to the wrong side. Later, when you be 30, 40, you'll see how difficult it is to change. Most people can change before they get married. Once they get married, it's very, very difficult. Because even if you're full of fire, you want to learn, that's it. Your wife, she's not interested. Now you have a big dilemma. What to do? To become religious and lose my family? Or to stay with my family and give up my hopes to become righteous? It's not only your choice anymore. There's other people around you. It's becoming very difficult. Right now, each one of you is single. Nobody can stop you. Can tell your parents, I'm taking a time out. I go to Or Sameach. I go to Kol Yaakov. I go to Lakewood. I go to Israel. I want to sit, learn Torah for a month. For two, three, four, whatever it takes. You're going to be very surprised that if a person isolates himself from everyday environment for a few weeks and learn Torah, whatever he learned, doesn't matter. How the soul purified, forget it. It's the best feeling. Mikveh, out of the media, no connection to movies, to guys, girls, hanging out, this, that, sitting in a restaurant, none of these things. None of this environment that you have in everyday's life. And you see right away how you feel very close to Hashem. Your emunah becomes better. You have strong confidence in Hashem that the future is fine. You don't worry about anything. You get married to the real girl. Hashem helps you. What do you think? If you see you come and do everything for him, of course he's going to help you. Won't leave you alone. 100%. But it's in your hand. I know it's difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. What do you think? If it was easy, what do you deserve a reward for? If everyone could go like this, Rabbi, no problem. Okay, I want to be a tzaddik. I'm going to yeshiva. No problem. What do you deserve a reward for? When Hashem will give you a reward, when Miriam is calling you on a date tomorrow, and his rabbi with his beard and sombrero wants to take you away to his yeshiva. Right? He said, oh Rabbi, okay, next week. What's on your mind? The day tomorrow. Rabbi said, come, learn Torah, Hashem is waiting. And he said, okay, I come. That's the truth, that's what I got to do. You know, one time a king, the Zohar bring a story, it's a mashal. How do you say mashal in English? Analogy, right?
Parable.
Huh?
Parable.
Parable? Ooh, so I've been making a mistake for years. Say analogy. It's also good? How do you say nimshal? Mashal, parable, you say? Parable. Nimshal is what you learn from the parable. So how do you call it? There's no word in English for that.
Oh, a lesson.
Huh? A lesson?
Life's lesson.
Ah. Not convincing. You know why there's no word for it? Because the preacher in English don't have that concept of mashal and nimshal. And let me tell you, the Zohar brings a beautiful case. It's called Hamelech, Bat Hamelech, the daughter of the king. The king has a beautiful girl, that's his daughter, she's the princess. We finished, we're almost done. The princess, everyone is dying to marry her, everyone. The king make a competition between all the guys in town. You want to marry my daughter? You have to prove you deserve to marry her. How do you prove? I put her in the top of the palace, in the attic. I made her a beautiful suite over there. And there is a whole building, few floors, full of windows and doors. And they all lock 100%. The one who will be able to make it all the way up will win my daughter. Here, somebody already made it. So, hundreds of guys are coming, going around the building, trying to climb from here, bringing hammers, trying to break. Nothing, sealed like a rock. Then one guy, after half an hour of banging, broke one window. He jumped in, now he's in the first floor, it's all dark, you have to try around, you don't know anything. Wow, it's going to be a very difficult mission. After 1 hour, from 500 guys, there's only 400. By the end of the day, 20, 30 guys left. Everybody realized the king is playing jokes with us. No chance to get his daughter. And those are the serious ones, the 20, the 30, they give up their life. They try to break, they climb, they fall, they bring ropes. No matter what, they do their best. Another day, 10 guys. Another day, 5 guys. Another day, 3 guys. Another day, 2 guys. Another day, 1 guy left. He didn't make it. Couldn't make it. It was very difficult. But he made it to the second floor. The king said, don't bother. You have my daughter. So I said, yeah, but I did not fulfill your request. He said, I have to get all the way up. He said, no, it's impossible to get all the way up to the top. But you already proved to me that you gave every drop of your energy to reach it. You gave everything you can, that's enough. You passed the test. In my world, Hashem says, I don't pay reward based on achievements. Not at all. One guy achieved more than his friend. The friend will get more than him. Why? I pay reward based on how much of your potential you fulfill. You put 80% of your sweat, of your energy, of your efforts, of your fighting against your evil inclination, 80%, you get rewarded for 80%. He did 60% and achieved higher level than you. Why? He was a genius. He had great memory. His father was a rabbi. It made it easy for him. But he only fulfilled 60%, you are better than him, even though you don't look like him in your knowledge. Same thing here. Hashem doesn't expect you to be a superman, to reach everything you want, no. But he expects you to show him how sincere you are. And this is the test of life. and will never stop. What do you think? 4 years you learn Torah, you don't come out of the door. After 4 years, you go 2 minutes on the street, you see what strong desire you have. It will never end. There's no point like this that you achieve some day in your life. Oh, now I can release. That's it. I can rest now. Everything is done. I made it. Now I can relax, retire, 30 years, sit, catch some fish here by the lake, listen to my music, no more Torah, no more mitzvot, I can relax. No, there's no relaxation. A second before you die, you're still obligated to learn. Read by the Rambam, Ilchot Talmud Torah. A person with leprosy, is obligated to learn Torah. He's itching all over his body. He's collecting money to feed his children from morning to night, banging on doors, begging for donations. Still must learn Torah every day. I will finish with a story about a woman, a Yemenite woman. She came to Israel in the days that Israel just became a country. It was the fighting, the wars with the Arabs. And she came with a Sefer Torah, a very old, ancient Sefer Torah from hundreds of years ago, from Yemen. Today, something like this worth millions of dollars. It went from generation to generation in her family. When she came to Israel, she had some kind of a rash. The foolish doctors that checked her, right away, leprosy. You have to hospitalize her in Tal Abiyah. There's a neighborhood in Jerusalem. Today it's a very fancy neighborhood. Each house is $1 million and up over there. But in those days it wasn't so fancy. And there was a hospital over there of people with leprosy. Tzaraat, all kinds of tzaraat, it's contagious. And the people who goes there, they lock them in isolation for the rest of their life. It's a death sentence. They made a mistake. She didn't have leprosy. So they say, Yemenite, she's ignorant. She doesn't know how to speak, how to write, read. What does she know from her life? She came alone from Yemen. Push her to Tal Abiyah. Yalla, goodbye. What did they do? These Zionist crooks, they stole away the Sefer Torah from her. They tell her, when you come out of the hospital next week, they didn't tell her where they're sending her. You come to us, this is our place, and we'll give you back the Sefer Torah. I cannot take it with you over there. And they locked her there for the rest of her life. Now, once she was there, after a week, it's contagious. She got it. Now she has it for real. Now, even if she wants to come out, so she cannot come out. So she's there for years, many, many years, all day, every day, she complains about only one thing. Not that they ruined her life, not that they took away her freedom, not that she never had a husband and kids, nothing. Not how Hashem did this to me, a young woman like me in my 20s, this is how my life went. She was always crying about the Sefer Torah. How they took my Sefer Torah from me, who knows where the Sefer... That's all she complains about. In the meantime, she gets like social security aid from the government, peanuts every month. She started to save the money. After a few years, she had enough money to write a new Sefer Torah. She sent a letter to a Yemenite sofer. She asked where it can find a good kosher sofer. She found a sofer. She sent him with someone the money. And he wrote her a Sefer Torah. After they finished the Sefer Torah, they made a big party. Achnasat Sefer Torah to some Yemenite yeshiva there in Israel. Yemenite people, Sefer Torah, Yemenite Sefer Torah. They bring it, they make a party. Now she cannot go to the party. She's locked in a hospital. So she started to dance with all the women in a hospital. Like supposedly they also do Achnasat Sefer Torah. What happened in the end? A year after the party, the Bet Midrash burned and their Sefer Torah burned with it. Second Sefer Torah. She started to cry again. Now this time it made her very sick. She got like heart condition and all kinds of sicknesses. She took it to her heart. Just she was in a horrible condition. One rabbi, he went to Rabbi Holzer. He used to go and visit people in hospitals. That was his mitzvah. goes from one hospital to the other. So one time he comes to visit her, and he sees the nurse is telling her, "What kind of fool you are? You took all your pension money and you gave it to Sefer Torah and this." She said, "No, I'm going to do it again." She said, "Yeah, you do it again. What did she do? She asked the Social Security in Israel to lend her money. She needs money. They told her, "How are you going to pay back the money?" She said, "You don't have to send me any more monthly checks. Just take it. You give me this money and you deduct every month what I owe you." They saw that she's still young. They didn't worry about the money. They lend her the money. She took the money and gave it to a sofer and wrote a third Sefer Torah. Now, when she wrote the third Sefer Torah, that's when Rabbi Holzer came to the hospital, right now, for the first time. When he came to the hospital, he heard that the nurse is telling her, "How did you give all your money to this rabbi to write a Sefer Torah? You don't even have socks. 10 years, you don't have socks. All your socks have holes. Your clothes have holes. You don't have nothing to wear. Nothing." The nurse is screaming at her. So she said to the nurse, "Tell me, what do you want me to take to Olam Haba with me? Socks? What will I take? Children I don't have. Husband I don't have. They lock me here 30, 40 years. I'm locked here in a room. One thing I can take with me to Olam Haba is the zchut of this Sefer Torah. You arguing with me why I did it?" And that's how she died. When Rabbi Holzer told that story to Rav Eliashiv, you know, we have in Simchat Torah, Chatan HaTorah. The one who gets the Aliyah, Chatan HaTorah, is like the Talmid Chacham of the community. They give it to the rabbi, to someone who's well known as a Chacham. You have Chatan HaTorah and Chatan Bereshit, in Simchat Torah. So he said to him, "Rav Eliashiv, this woman, she deserves to be called Kalat HaTorah. You have to make a special title just for her. The Bride of the Torah. Yesh Chatan HaTorah. This is the Bride of the Torah." This is just to show you that out of nowhere, a person have nothing in his life. Nothing. No skills. He's prisoner in somewhere. They messed up her whole life. She got something big out of her. The third Sefer Torah went to a good place and is there until today. They learn in it. They read in it. It's her zchut. She achieved something in her life. This is a strong emunah in Hashem. Nothing. She never complained about her own situation. All she did is was worry about the first Sefer Torah. Second Sefer Torah, every other person would say, "Okay, I'm dismissed. I did it once. Hashem doesn't want. That's it. It's not my problem. How many times I'm going to do it? What? I'm not Rothschild. You know, I did it. Twice, more than average. Third time. And believe me, if it wouldn't happen, it wouldn't help, she would do it four times as well. That's consistency. To be successful in life, you have to have this skill. People put you down. "Oh, you're a nerd. You're fanatic. You're too religious. You're this, you're that." Don't be impressed by these losers. I promise you, they won't stand. When you come in front of Hashem, they won't be able to protect you. "You got me into Facebook. You got me into this movie. You got me into this lifestyle. You got me into drugs." What do you think? You're going to be able to use it as an excuse? Plus, you always think you know better than your parents. They're primitive. What do they know? You wait and see. In 10 years from now, everything their parents tell you, I'm not talking if they tell you, "Don't go and learn Torah. Don't be too religious." Then you don't listen to them. They don't know what Torah is. I'm talking in general. Stay away from problem. Stay away from here. Stay away from this. You laugh at them. They're primitive. What do they know? You wait and see in 10 years, in 20 years, when you have your own kids, it's going to be a repeat. And then you're going to look back in your life and you say, "Wow, everything I did to my parents, they're doing to me now." You won't have the ability to fight against it because you know it's a decree from Hashem. You see, every day Hashem will show you. Remember you used to do it to your mother? Look what your son is doing to me. Next day, the next thing, what you did here, what you did there, it's mamash a repeat. Midah keneged midah. Everything measure for measure. If you saw my video, Life After Life, I showed her a clip of a goy that one day he comes to change the diapers of his son. The baby is 1.5 years old. The goy comes to change his diaper, and the baby tells him, you know, Dad, it's strange. When I was your age, I used to change your diapers. And the father, it's 1.5 years toddler. What do they know, 1.5 years old, to say? You know, when I was your age, I used to change your diapers. They invited a specialist about reincarnations. They started to check. They brought pictures, and the boy was pointing as his father. The grandfather came back as the son. Imagine, one day your father passed away after 120 years, and he comes back to life as your son. You come to change his diaper, and he say, you know, when I was your father, I used to change your diapers. Now you're changing my diapers. He remembers his previous life. That's as the Gemara says. The Ari HaKadosh says, usually bad kids, when they make problems to their parents, one of the way Hashem punish them is bring your parents to be your own children, to do exactly the same thing to you. You don't listen to them, you insult them, you embarrass on your parents, you beat them up, you do this, you steal their money, you don't answer the phone, you hang up on them when they call to look for you at 2 o'clock at night. Your children will take your heart out. You just wait and see, and I promise you it's going to be 100%. That's besides all the other punishments. Don't be a wise guy. The only way to succeed is the way of the Torah. You want to do it your way? I'm not going to be there to tell you what to do. I say what I had to say in the name of the Torah. Now it's your choice. Thank you very much to Rabbi Shlomo that is organizing this evening. Thank you for coming. We'll see you again.